Get out of the way, or something, or move over a little bit. Okay, we're going to start with, you can go to Psalm, Isaiah, but, you know, the world is always pushing fear in some form or another, in one category or another, and we all deal with the pressures and things of life. So I have some questions here which don't require any answers, but I want you to think about them. First of all, are you where you want to be with God in your life? That's a good question to think about, isn't it? Are you where you are? Are you in the place you want to be with God in your life? Do you have peace in your heart despite situations and circumstances? So, you know, if you're confronted with a crisis, if you're confronted with something, do you freak out or do you have peace? Do you deal with it in a peaceful manner? Do you think about God and go to God? That's number one. Number two, are you fearful or are you fear-free? It's another question. One of the first things we learn in the Word of God is, you know, we don't have to be fearful. Do you have God's prosperity? That doesn't mean that you're a millionaire, does it? It just means you have your needs met, that you're walking in a good way, that God blesses your life and you see good things happening. So do you have God's prosperity? Is there harmony in your home, in your life, generally speaking? Do you have harmony? Is it, you know, pretty much smooth, or is it always continuous battles and confrontation? Some of you, probably this is familiar, right? The old green card, some of those things. Are you healthy or are you nagged by physical challenges? And is your general attitude negative or positive? You know, do you look at things and think about things in a positive light, or do you think of them and always in terms of negative things? You know, because, you know, the old adage of, is the glass half full or half empty? You know, some people always see it as half full and some people always see it as half empty. So how do you see it? And do you see God working in your life pretty much on a daily basis or on a regular basis, or are you always looking to see God work, or does he never work? Or do you only think about him when a crisis occurs? You know, so those are the questions I'm throwing out at you. And I'm not going to really go through all of them today, but I might do some more teachings on this in the coming weeks. But today we're really going to look at the peace of God. Do you have peace in your life despite circumstances or situations? Do you have that peace of God? So I want you to go to Isaiah 26. Probably all know this verse. Probably don't even have to look at it, but if you do, it's great. And it says, I'll wait for everybody to get there. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the word perfect peace is peace, or peacefully peaceful. It's a figure of speech to emphasize the peace. So God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. And the, you know, that stayed mind is the one of the key ingredients there. You stay your mind, you stay focused on God and his promises. God is my deliverer. God is my stay. God is my, you know, he's the one that's going to take care of me, watch over me. We kind of heard that in the manifestations today, didn't we? And then it says, because he trusteth in thee. If you trust in God, if you truly trust in God, you know, whenever you're confronted with something negative or something that's a challenge, you're going to turn to him. You're going to trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, right? And then it goes on to say in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. How long? Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You can trust in him forever because he has everlasting strength. He never runs out of gas. I guess you could say it that way. He just always is strong. He never tires out. He's never exhausted. He never runs out of the power that he has. It's a pretty great God. Too many times, I've noticed over the years people coasting along, and outwardly it looks like, oh, life is great, until they get confronted with, a situation or a circumstance, and they don't have an answer for it, and they freak out. They just fall to pieces, and they don't have peace. Or sometimes they don't have peace, but they hide it. Whatever it is, and I'm not saying any of you have this or don't have this, but what I'm saying is that God's peace should be there for you if you are believing and trusting God. And if it's not, you can get there. And one of the ways you can get there is learn to stay your mind on God, to trust God, to look to Him in every situation so that He can carry you through. Let's go to Psalm 57. There are many verses about God and how He will take care of us and how we can look to Him and how He will watch over us. So it said in Isaiah, He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee because He trusteth in thee. And it talked about the stayed mind. And in Psalm 57, it says, the psalmist says in verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And this is a psalm of David, and it was written at the time when he escaped from Saul, when Saul was hunting him down, and Saul came into the cave and couldn't see him, and David crept up and cut off the bottom part of his robe. Saul had the whole army out looking for David. He was going to have him killed. Right? And he wrote this psalm and he said, my heart is fixed, oh my God. My heart is fixed on thee. He was, he believed that God would take care of him. God would protect him. God would watch over him. So he didn't freak out because he was being hunted. He didn't freak out because, the whole army, a whole country was looking for him. He just stayed peaceful and he stayed focused on God. He did what God wanted him to do. Let's go to Psalm 112. And of course, Psalms are full of this stuff. We're only going to look at a couple. But Psalms are full of these things. And so one of the things you have to do is you have to stay your mind. Keep your mind focused on God. Don't allow the circumstances and the situations to pull you away from what God promises. And you can go to any category of life, any category. And the world is out there throwing fear at you. And you have a choice to either look to God or look to what the world's saying. So, this week, your 401k could go down the tubes and you could catch Ebola and your kids could get that new virus that's running around and get sick and whatever else is going on. The terrorists could come and bomb Philadelphia. I don't know. I mean, this stuff is out there all over the place. And what's it pushing? Fear. And what does God say? I'm God. I'm here for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. So you have a choice. You can be peaceful about these things, or you can be out of your mind with worry. And that, and that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is when you get something personal. You get a bill, you get injured, you get this, you get that. Somebody you love is sick. You just got to have that peace of God. And there's a reason to have the peace of God, and we're going to get into that. But first and foremost, peace of God is available to us. His rest, that was mentioned in the prophecy. His rest, He has given us rest. Well, He has given, you go along the highway and they have a rest station and you have to use the bathroom, but you decide not to stop at the rest station. Well, whose fault is that? For the discomfort, the panic, the worry, the concern. You can stop at the rest station, get relief, and continue on your journey, or you can continue to worry and get upset about it. You know, that's kind of the way life is with God. God has given us rest. He's made it available. He's made his peace available. But if you don't stop and get it, if you don't avail yourself of his peace, of his rest, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Okay? So, Psalm 112, verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." Blessed means happy. Happy is the man or woman, that is in awe, that respects God, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That simply means you're delighted in his word. And if you're delighted in his word, then you would look at his word, you would read his word or listen to his word, and you would keep it in your mind. You'd work at keeping it in your mind. So, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, respects the Lord, is in awe of the Lord, Jehovah, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's a pretty nice promise if you love God and believe in him. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So, you know, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He helps people out. And he guides his fare with discretion, meaning, you know, you're not just here, there, and everywhere with your life. You know, you take care of things. You have some self-discipline and self-control. Okay? Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, if you're a believer, and we use the word believer for everyone that's born again, but it really implies that you believe, not just once, but continually. You continually believe. And it says here, a righteous man shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Are evil tidings going to come your way in life? Absolutely. They are absolutely going to come your way. You're going to see things go wrong in life. You're going to be confronted with things in your life. But his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, no matter what comes your way, you just stay your mind on God and you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you here. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm trusting that you will help me through this thing, that you'll show me the way, that you'll guide me, you'll help me. Verse 8, his heart is established. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about being rooted and grounded in love, doesn't it? And here it says, your heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desires upon his enemies. And, you know, enemies you can think of in many ways, but the enemy really is spiritual enemies, right? Mm-hmm. And our desire for our enemies is that they get put away, get taken care of. And, you know, so no matter what comes along, no matter what evil tidings, no matter what negatives come our way, our hearts are established. We're not afraid. Our hearts are established. We have God's peace. You know, it's kind of hard to have fear and have peace, isn't it? They're opposites. We're to have peace. That's all there is to it. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says one place that God is a God of peace. Every church epistle begins with grace and peace, or peace and grace. God's desire for us is to have peace. That's his desire. That's his will, for us to be peaceful. There are lots of reasons for that. But number one is to be fearful really saps your energy. You know?
Yeah.
It really does. It wears, when you have fear, when you're all bent out of shape, when you can't just calm down and relax, it's exhausting. It's fatiguing. There's an old saying, fatigue makes cowards of us all, you know? So you don't want fear, you want peace. And you know, if you have trouble sleeping, if you have trouble, you know, dealing with things, how about asking God to help you? You know, if you know, you have trouble staying in your mind, ask God to teach you how. And if you have trouble being peaceful when you go to bed at night, ask God to show you how to be peaceful. I think too many times we forget to ask. You know, we have the complaints, we have the concerns, we have the worries, but we don't ask God what to do about them. You know, and keep asking until you get an answer. And listen. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Here's a pretty cool verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this draws a pretty stark contrast, doesn't it? To be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be sense knowledge minded is death. It doesn't mean you're going to die if you think fleshly thoughts or carnal thoughts, but there's no life in them. There's no anything in them. It's a waste of time. So, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, to be spiritually minded is to think about what?
Spiritual things,
the promises of God, the Word of God, God, you know, Jesus Christ. To be spiritually minded is think upon the things that we have from God, not the things that the world has thrown at us. That's carnally minded. And if you're carnally minded, you know, I have these bills and I can't pay them and they're going to take my house and my car and my kids and, you know, on and on and on and on. I'm going to get this disease. I just know it. Everybody in my family's gotten it. You know? Why? You don't have to get it. I laugh sometimes. My wife's family, you know, they had a history of heart disease. Some of them. But not all of them. And they all run to the doctor. But, you know, not all of them have that. Some of them do. Some of them don't. My wife doesn't have anything. You know, it's just, so there's a percentage that may do. But, you know, if you have fear, that's not a good thing. I'm not saying they have fear. I'm not saying anything. Just saying that's, you know, Ebola. You know what the odds are of getting Ebola?
Right.
It's astronomical. Astronomical. But people are freaking out. Astronomical. Not only that, but it comes from Africa. It comes from equatorial Africa, where it's tropical, where it's hot and humid. Well, when the winter comes here, you know, that virus could just die off and not affect anybody because it doesn't live in a cold climate. I mean, they don't know. But people are freaking out and nothing's really happened. Now, it's good to be cautious. It's good to be wise, no doubt about it. But freak out, lose your peace over it, that's insane. That's insanity. You know, but people do, don't they? Okay. And people do it on all kinds of things. So here it says, for to be carnally minded is death. That's a negative. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's positive. You know, think on God. You know, worst thing that happens, you die, Christ comes back, and you'll have eternal life and a new body. So what the heck? See, you might as well be peaceful. Okay, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. You know what the other thing they do in the world? This is the worst. you know, this is always the worst. And it's never the worst. In 2008, I said, this is the worst economic thing. Well, actually, it was worse in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a lot worse. Interest rates were 15% to buy a house and all kinds of stuff. It was worse then. I remember. I lived through it. And you know what? I believe God, it didn't affect me. I did fine. I had no problem. There was a guy back in the 1800s, an economist named Malthus, M-A-L-T-H-U-S. And he put out a thing, and it's called Malthusian Theory. And it was back when they were making all these medical breakthroughs, learning some, you know, really what we would consider simple things today about, you know, if you wash your hands and, you know, you cook milk, you know, with so that it doesn't have germs in it, you know, pasteurize it and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden there was this boom in the population of the world, right? Because it's, you know, if you have a breakthrough and you eliminate something that kills a lot of people, like back in the 1800s, the death rate at birth was ridiculously high. And a doctor figured out that if you washed your hands and it was sterile, mm-hmm. you know, 90% of those deaths would be eliminated, which they were. You know, so then all of a sudden you have all these babies surviving that wouldn't have ordinarily survived. So anyway, so this guy put forth the theory, if this is going to happen, that the population of the earth is going to expand so fast that everybody's going to starve to death. He did that, you know, over 200 years ago, or almost 200 years ago. He predicted that. Hasn't happened yet, has it? No. Because, you know, it's Malthusian theory. And it's always, you know, global warming is going to change everything and the ice packs are going to melt and the whole world is going to get flooded and blah, 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 blah. Well, we know that they did melt once and the earth is still here and animals still existed and survived. And then they froze and then a lot of them died, but not all of them, and they still existed. So no matter what cycles the earth goes through, life continues on. Just the way it is. And it takes thousands of years for those cycles to do, right? To occur. See, and the world is always throwing, this is the worst. This is the worst disease that ever came on man. This is the worst economic situation. This is the worst. It's not. You know, and if you read the Bible, the worst is yet to come, but we're not going to be here. So, ha ha. The worst is yet to come. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what? God so much wants you to have peace. But we have to allow it into our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. You know, it's to rule in your hearts. It's to have dominion. It's to have dominion. You know, if God's peace does not rule in your hearts and it doesn't have dominion, then you're going to be shaky with it. One minute you're going to be peaceful, next minute you're going to be nervous. Next minute you're going to be peaceful, next minute. If it rules in your heart, you stay peaceful. Right? God's desire is that you have peace, inner peace, serenity, calmness, that you're not all bent out of shape all the time. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You know, when you're faced with a stressful situation, what's the first thing you do? You get anxious, you get worried, you freak out, or do you go to God and pray and say, okay, God, I need your peace. You go to God, you read his word, where it's applicable, you speak in tongues. You cultivate God's peace in your life. You let it rule. That's the challenge. Right? If you let your mind run wild, it will. It's a very unruly thing, the mind. And if you don't beat it into submission, stay your mind on God, and allow God's peace to rule in your heart, it won't. You know, it's up to you. You're the one that decides on this. Chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. And the word careful is don't be distracted or don't be anxious for anything. It's a weird King James way of writing it, but don't be anxious or distracted by anything. And it's easy to get distracted sometimes, isn't it?
Sure.
This word, be careful for nothing, or be careful, don't be distracted by anything, is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus Christ is talking about, don't be distracted for clothing or take no thought. That's the word, take no thought. It's the same word as be careful. Take no thought for tomorrow, for it's evil of itself. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So seek God first, put God first. Stay your mind on God. Look to God in every situation. So it says here, don't be distracted about anything or about any, you know, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything includes everything except my problem. That's the way we think, isn't it? You know, everything except my problem is different from everybody else's that's ever lived. My situation is an exception. You know, God will take care of all his believers and all the people throughout history and into the future, except for me in this situation. You know, don't be distracted by anything. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, no exceptions, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, you know we are to pray to God according to his will, right? We are to be in alignment and harmony with what he desires and what he wants. Well, he certainly wants us to have peace. Now, you know, we may not know the solution to the circumstance or the problem or the situation or the crisis. We may not know the solution. So in that case, I can pray to God and I can say, okay, God, I need a solution, but first and foremost, I need your peace. I need your peace. So I can listen, so I can hear what you have to say, so I know what to do. Because we have learned that the greatest cargoes come in over quiet seas, right? You know, if you're nervous, if you're bent out of shape, if you're freaking out, if you're unpeaceful, it's hard to listen to God. It's hard to hear what God says. I can remember when Stella was, you know, this is 33 years ago. Stella was pregnant with Jeffrey, and she got really sick in her seventh month of pregnancy. And at that time, early in the seventh month, to have a baby that premature was dangerous. And I bring her in, and her temperature was like 105, and she kept going into labor. And the doctor comes to me, and he goes, I want you to sign this release form in case we have to do a C-section. I said, no. I'm not signing it. We'll just wait. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here, but I'm not doing that yet. And, you know, I just prayed, and she got healed. It was, you know, that easy. I just didn't do it. He wanted me to panic. He wanted me to get fearful. He wanted me to freak out. You got to sign this. I don't have to sign it. I'm not ready yet. She's okay. You just got to have peace in your heart if you're going to listen to God. I knew God told me, I knew that he didn't have to sign that paper, that he wasn't going to do a C-section. And she went full term, and that's what happened. Okay, let's go to Psalm 46. Greatest cargoes of life come in over quiet seas. Quiet seas. You know, you have to have peace. If you don't have peace, God can't work with you. He can't help you. He can't show you. Psalm 46, and verse 10. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Simply means that God is over all, he's the Lord of hosts, he's over every power, everything, and that he is our refuge, he's our safe haven. But it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. You know, sometimes you just have to stop. You know, we're in such a hurry sometimes. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What's next? If I don't get this right, you know, just stop. Just get peaceful with God. What a great thing. How did Moses deal with the Red Sea situation? Here he is leading all these moaning, complaining, people that really didn't want to be with him. He got the greatest army in the world right behind him, and he's got the Red Sea in front of him. How did he deal with it? How did he listen to God? He had to have peace. He had to have confidence and trust that God was going to show him what to do. What happened? They all drowned. No. They got across, right? God saved them, and he destroyed the Egyptian army. How did Daniel deal with the lion's den? Did he freak out? Did they drag him kicking and screaming? He knew God would take care of him. He says he went in there and the lions did nothing. And then when they took him out and they threw the other guys in, the lions ate him. Same lions. Pretty amazing. How about David with Goliath? What was his attitude? Hey, God's going to fight this battle, not me. He said, God's going to deliver me. You know, sense knowledge-wise, it was, holy crap. That guy's giant. He's a killer. David said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine, and God's going to take care of you. He had no fear, no worry. He had peace. How about Elijah? Elijah with Ahab, you know, Elijah said, hey, you've screwed up Ahab, and there's not going to be any rain for 3 years, or there's not going to be any rain. And then God hit him for 3 years, right? First he hit him by the brook and delivered meat to him by way of the ravens. How does that work? He was peaceful. He didn't freak out. And then he went and stayed with the widow woman. And the widow woman was freaking out. And he goes, just give me first. And then they were fed for over a year. You know, how did he do that? He listened to God. If he listened to God, he had to be peaceful. Let's go back to Romans 8. God's promises are so great. And we just heard so much of this just in the in the manifestations before we started. He said some of this stuff to us. He wants us to know this. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together to good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, that's a crazy verse when you think about it. Because how many times can you think in the Word of God where things looked really negative and really dark, and God made it turn out to be the most incredible, great thing that ever happened. You know, I can think of lots of them, but you know, they put Paul and Silas in jail and threatened them, and then there was an earthquake. They got loose. They went out and they witnessed to the jailer, and they got all these people born again. You know, it looked like a pretty bad situation, didn't it? And yet, turned out to be pretty good. You know, Israel was enslaved, and God sent Moses, and God pulled them out of their slavery, even though they didn't want to go. And not only did they go, but the Egyptians gave them all their gold and jewels and everything else. And, you know, God just does that. So no matter how bad a situation can look, if you look to God, He's going to turn it into something great. You just got to stick with him and have peace and allow him to work in your heart and listen to him. So, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That includes us. For whom he did know, he foreknow, he also did predestinate or foreordain to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did foreordain, predestinate is foreordain, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if God's for us, does it matter who's against us? Does it matter what's against us? Does it matter what the circumstances are? No. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the stock market did last week. Just doesn't. God is God. He'll figure it out. You know, if you were to go back and read about the Roman Empire and the first century, it wasn't a great political situation. It wasn't like the believers, you know, everybody embraced them. It wasn't like, oh, wow, this is it. They tried to persecute him. They tried to hurt him. What did Paul do? He went about trying to throw and did throw people in jail and tortured them and everything else. But the people, you know, some people freaked out. Some people didn't trust God, and some people did. And the people that trusted God prospered. They were blessed. They got deliverance. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, that's us, I count not myself to apprehended or understood, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. You got to leave the past behind and move forward. Too many times we're carrying extra baggage, you know? And the more baggage you carry, the slower you get. You just need to leave those things behind in the past. You know, whatever is negative, whatever held you back, whatever you may have done or been is irrelevant to God. His promises are to you today and forever. All things work together to good for them that love God. So if you're loving God and you're looking to him, he says he'll work it out. So why freak out? That doesn't help anything. Let's go to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. You could just go through Psalms and look up the word peace and the word rest, and you could spend the next 2 months studying this stuff. But Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. And we know we're set apart, aren't we? We're sanctified. When we got born again, we were sanctified. We were set apart. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. When you pray to God, he hears. It says, the ear of the Lord is always open unto the prayers of the righteous. That's what it says. His ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. Stand in awe and sin not. That's pretty great. That's good advice. Stand in awe of God and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. You know, what is it? Be still. Get quiet. Be peaceful. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And that just means, you know, make right sacrifices or right offerings, you know. Whatever you do for God, do with the right heart, meaning you're just looking to bless God and do his will. Verse 6, there may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn or grain and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What a cool little psalm, huh? You know, it's about God and looking to God for his deliverance and his support and his strength. And he never runs out of strength. You know, he's there for us. And we can go to bed at night and we can go to sleep and be in peace because the Lord is our safety. And one more, Psalm 119. Some great verses there to have when you're dealing with stuff, isn't there?
Yeah.
Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law. You know, if we love God and we love his word and we're putting it in our brain and we're sticking to it and trusting him, we're going to be blessed. And God can give us peace no matter what the situation. It says in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on and so forth. Well, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's we produce peace in our life as we are spiritual, as we're doing the things of God, as we're speaking in tongues, as we're recognizing we are righteous and sanctified and holy. When we love his word, when we're pushing forward for God, putting him first, we can have peace. And when we're confronted with situation, and the devil wants to get you not peaceful, doesn't he? He wants to take your peace away. Okay? And so recognize that when things come at you and you start to get unpeaceful, it's not from God. It's from the other source. And so God's desire, God's heart for you is to have peace so that you can go to bed at night and be peaceful and rest, so that you can be peaceful so that he can give you the solutions and the answers to what you need when you need it. So, you know, just develop that peace. Cultivate that peace. Build that peace in your life because God's there. That's what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to be nervous. He doesn't want you to freak out every time you're confronted with a situation or a circumstance. He wants you to have peace. Be still and know that I am God. So God, amen. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your peace. That, boy, that's such a great thing. It's something we all need and we should all want. And it's all available to each and every one of us that, you know, everything by prayer and supplication, everything. We don't have to be anxious at all. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be fearful. That you're a God of peace and a God of love and that you're our safe haven. You're our refuge. You're our strength. You are a God of might and you are our Father. And you hold us in the hollow of your hands. So we just thank you, God, for that, and we thank you for your peace in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.